Amen. Amen. This time we'll dismiss our children at Children's Church, those fifth grade and below. Follow Miss Denise Porch. Miss Carmen, as y'all head to Children's Church, I ask if you will to find your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 14 through 21. Through 21. I ask everyone who will stand and honor read God's word this morning. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, read like this. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in the innermost man through his Holy Spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you be with us this morning as we look at your word. I pray, Father, that everything done and said is according to your will. Father, may you hide me behind the cross. Father, may we speak your word with integrity. Your Son, Jesus' precious name, I pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Well, I would be telling you a story if I didn't intentionally try to set out to have a message for the school teachers and the staff. Yes, it's Brennan Mount Primary School, but also our other teachers and staff that are plugged in here at First Baptist Church, Union Grove, because it's exactly what I did. But church, I don't want you to throw a deaf ear upon the things that the message that God has for us this morning. I want you to listen to the words that's being spoken, because you're going to be a vital part of this process. Brennan Mountain Primary School and High School, I want you to, and Middle School, I want you, Elementary School as well, I want you to know that you are being prayed for. I want you to know that we understand that the difficulties and struggles will come throughout this year. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we can come to an understanding that we're all going to face these different difficulties and struggles along life's way. Now I've never participated in the teaching side of it, though I've been plugged into the Good News Club and thoroughly enjoyed that. But I've been on the student side, and I know from at least what my teachers told me that a school year can be rough. A school year can be tough. You see, it can weigh on our minds. There can be long days in which we face. There can be days that the children just, it seems as if they're not following the instructions that are given to them. Or there can be days that you as a teacher, as a faculty member, come to wit's end on what to do next. And I know personally that applies to each and every one of us. Life is sometimes tough. Struggles come. But church and our school systems, it's important that we pray for one another. It's important that we pray in a fashion that we see Paul here as he writes to the church of Ephesus in his prayer for that church. And this morning, we're going to look as we work through our fill the blanks that should be within your bulletin. This is the way, church, listen to me, how we're going to be praying for our school system. This is the way we're going to be praying for our teachers and our faculty, our lunchroom, our wherever you may work within the school system. It is very vital, because your job is important. You are impacting our children for tomorrow's leaders. And it starts, yes, in kindergarten and pre-K. You know, I'm a firm believer that so goes the home is how the church is going to go. But I also know and understand we live in a society that many people do not trust Jesus Christ. So teachers, you have a responsibility. I know there's legalities, but no one can say that you cannot walk for Jesus. By your example, by your leadership, by your words, by your actions that take place in front of others. For the message this morning, yes, is for you, but it's for all of us. And we need to be pursuing in our walk with Jesus to pray for ourselves, yes, but also for one another. We need to learn that how we as churches, as the body of Christ, need to be in prayer for one another and pursuing Jesus Christ on a daily basis. The Bible shares with us for us to take up our cross daily and follow Him. Not occasionally, not monthly, daily. And follow after Him. Now, to kind of get us started, I was talking to Charlie Short earlier, and he was sharing with me about Wade one time starting school. So and he started at something like this. Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, Wade started school. And he did. I know it kind of seems a little odd, but yes, he did. But Wade went to school and he came home one day just excited. A few weeks ago, he said, "I made 100. And Carrie, his sister, she just couldn't believe it. "Wade, how did you make 100? How did you do?" But she was excited for him. He said, "Yes, I made 100. She said, "Well, where did you make 100? "In English and spelling." She said, "Wow, Wade, that's great. "Yes, I made a 60 in English and a 40 in spelling." Wade's math was very good, wasn't it, brother? That's a joke. I appreciate you, brother. Now, I have everyone's attention. I want you to know that the community of churches, I know full well we're going to be praying for you. But I only speak on behalf of First Baptist Church in your Grove. We will be praying for you. So church, I want you to take notes because this is how we want to pray for them. Faculty and teachers, I want you to take notes because this is how you're going to be prayed for. But I want you to share something up front. If we don't know what's going on, we don't know how to pray. You'll be being prayed for. But if you need specific prayer, please let us know. We'll keep it confidential, but we'll be praying for you. So without progressing any further, how will we pray for you? Number one, you fill in the blank, praying for strength. Praying for strength. When we talk about strength, the first thing that comes to mind is big muscles. When we think about strength, we start thinking of individuals who are bodybuilders. We start thinking about people who can accomplish great feats, and we think of the strength that they have to accomplish these things. But when we look at Paul's prayer, I feel that the information that we get in front of our eyes, and we often overlook, is exactly this. Paul states that his strength, not verbatim, but we recognize his strength is found in his demon. His strength is found in his prayer life. His strength is found when he prays for fellow believers. His strength is found when he communicates in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that truth still abides today. Our strength alone lies in Jesus Christ. He's the one that equips us. He's the one that prepares us. He's the one that restores us to our fellowship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one that does it all for us. Now, I know exactly what's going through the mind. I know exactly what question that you have. And the most common question that we face is, no matter what we're doing, no matter if it's serving God or going to church, no matter if it's surrendering to Jesus or for a school to start, here's the statement that most often people make: "I'm not ready. I'm not ready." Let me tell you something. You'll never be ready. But He always is. He alone is the one that you can turn to for your strength. He alone is the one that you are to trust in. You will never be ready, but you do need to take a step of faith to follow after His strength and His understanding and not your own. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, they state this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about Him in all your ways. He will guide you on the right path." He will guide you on the right. You'll never be ready. but He always is. He'll never send you to somewhere He's not already been. He'll never send you somewhere that He will not equip you, give you the words to say, and He will be at work in and through you, but you must let Him. You have to trust and rely upon His strength. Now, when we rely upon self and become self-centered, we miss our calling. We miss exactly what we're called to do with the instructions that we're given to invest in the lives of other people. You see, it's very important that we look at investing in the lives of others. Now, do not misunderstand me. Yes, you must invest in your own life. You see, it's kind of like, and I'm reminded of this story. Many of you I know have probably flew before. Been on an airplane. And the stewardess comes out, and one of the first things they say is, if an accident takes place, there'll be an oxygen mask that drops down. And you must take care of yourself. Don't try to help anyone else until you take care of yourself. Why? Because we might lose two if you don't take care of yourself first. You have to take care of yourself so you can be useful in a way to reach others. We have to gain our strength from Jesus Christ, from our Lord and Savior, our Creator, our Redeemer, our everything, first. So we'll have the ability to have the strength, His strength, to move forward and help others. You see, we need to get our strength from the Lord first. Teachers, you need to get your strength from the Lord first. I'm reminded of another story of how, I won't share all of it, but we'll say people struggle with how they live for Jesus if they're not a preacher, if they're not a called minister, if they're not a Sunday school teacher. How do you live the same way that Greg and all the sinners saved by grace? And you make a huge impact. So I encourage you to get on your knees and start your day in prayer. Because your workplaces, whether it's at a school or a machine shop or wherever that may be, your job is a mission field. Bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Use it in the strength that God has given you. Use it in the strength that He has equipped you with. You see, we need to prepare these children for what tomorrow holds. You see, as we stated earlier, they are the leaders of the moment. We got to have strength. We must have strength so we can equip them. God can use us to equip them, to bring Him honor and glory. You may or may not say the name of Jesus, but I promise you, they'll ask why you're different from others. So it's vitally important that we put our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ. And as we look at our text, I'm reminded of the overall message, if you will, of Ephesians. You see, this is not the first prayer that Paul prays over. In our text, we see one prayer, but we also recognize Paul in prayer in chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, in which it states Paul prays for enlightenment. What is enlightenment? Paul prays for us to have understanding. What he's doing, what he wants to accomplish, what your job is, what your role is, how do we accomplish? Paul instructs for us to be enlightened. He prays that we will be enlightened to the message of the gospel of hope found in Jesus, where our strength comes from. You see, it's vitally important for us to make an impact on the lives of others, whether it's in teaching or in praying for strength. We need to allow others to see Jesus in us. We need to allow others to see Jesus, our direction, our contact, our Savior. We need to allow them to see a Redeemer. But he goes on in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, states this: I pray the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling. You see, Paul's prayer is, in other words, he's praying, it's a petition that as we face life, those tough days, those difficult days, those days that we wish would move forward and get over, we all have. He's praying that we will not only be enlightened, but come to an understanding that God's working out details in your life. God has a plan for you to reach others. And second, we see in our text that we read this morning, after we move past the enlightenment, we move forward to the enablement. So you see, Paul prays that we would come to an understanding, but Paul also prays that we would put our feet to action. James 1:22 comes to my mind. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Too often we're very guilty as proclaimed followers of Christ. I know God's word. I know God's word. I know God's word. Now that's good. But the knowing God's word needs to take step and move forward and we act out God's word. Then we follow His command. We follow His instructions. No matter what struggle and difficulty we may face, that's where we gain our strength. Because if we want to give a testimony about who Jesus is, people need to first see Jesus living in us. Because if we're not living for Him on a daily basis, our actions do not represent our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, how can we tell others where our hope is found? How can we tell others where our hope can be found? That's what I'm talking about, for us to be strengthened. For us to come to an understanding that there's something taking place in our lives that's larger than we are. And it may be those little children in Brilliant Mountain Primary School. It may be those graduates that are about to graduate this next year. It may be somewhere in between. It may be a co-worker at your workplace, church. It needs to know hope in the family. And you need strength so you can strengthen them. That's your vision of who Jesus Christ is. And the strength that He brings and the love that He offers. It's important for us to understand this. Teachers, know that First Baptist Union Grove will be praying for you to be strengthened. But here's something I'll tell you. I'm just going to be honest. We're going to pray for your spiritual needs first. We're going to help you physically as much as we possibly can. But our prayer life is going to revolve around your spiritual strength, your spiritual needs. For you to grow to an understanding of who Jesus Christ is. For you to live with a zeal to share with others who Jesus Christ is. That's our prayer. That's my prayer. Church, that should be our prayer for one another. To not just know, but to live freely. To live freely about who Jesus is. Be strengthened. Number two in your fill in the blanks. How will we pray for you? We'll be praying for results. We'll be praying for results. Now, the first thing I know that you want to do is ask a question. What do I mean by results? We all know that life can be tough, as we've already talked about just a moment ago. Every month, I don't care who or what you are, every month you have bills that come into your house. That's right. Some of them are funny, some of them are not. But let me tell you something. Here's what we're... We will continue to have some bills always come in. But we will continue to have bills, the more we spend, the more bills we acquire. Now, as long as we keep spending, we're going to keep acquiring bills. Now, what do you mean by this, preacher? What are you talking about? Too often, here's what I'm trying to say. Too often, we think we're going to get out of debt, but we keep spending. In other words, church, too often we continue going down the same road, doing the same thing, expecting different results. We need to be praying for results. First Baptist Union Grove, New Friendship, Mount View, Sweet Home, New Covenant, our sister churches in the area. We need to be praying for results to take place. The church, we also need to be praying that those results take place at Brindley Mountain Primary School, Brindley Mountain Elementary, Brindley Mountain Middle High School. Because this world needs more of Jesus. We need to be living for Him. That's what I'm talking about, results. Now, I want to kind of fast forward, if you will. I shared with you too often where we do the same thing, expecting different results. This doesn't work. When it's something, you do the same thing time and time again and there's no different result, why do we keep doing the same thing, wanting different results? I don't know. I don't have the answer, but we do. We're creatures of habit. Too often we get stuck in that rut. So why do I say praying for results? Listen to the text as it talks about in Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19. It says, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith, I pray that you being rooted and firmly established, or your assignment may say grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the result. So that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So our prayer as a church for you as faculty and teachers is going to be that you'll be results driven. So that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Whether you mention a name or not, those kids need to see something different. You've heard me state that 4 or 5 times already, I know. You've probably heard that many times. But I'm going to swap directions here. That results can also equal success. Now here's what I want to talk about here. You see, we're often success driven. We think about bigger and better and more when we start thinking about success. And when we start thinking about results. Now, let me share something with you. Somebody come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the pinnacle. Okay. I will share it with us that even the angels rejoice for one who comes to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So often, here's what we do, church. Here's what we do is we're guilty of allowing ourselves to be distracted. And we look, our goal is to grow God's kingdom. Our goal is to see someone come to Christ as Savior. And it should be, but too often, and if it doesn't happen, then we tuck tails and run and we think we've let God down. That's Satan telling you a lie. Satan wants to feed your life that you're not being successful. Success, results, comes from you're being obedient to what God is leading you to do. Obedience breeds success, breeds results. So whatever God may be implying or pricking your heart to do, be strengthened by it. But know that your obedience is what brings results. Your obedience is what brings success. Because as Paul wrote, Paul wrote, all is wise, but God gives the increase. The result comes from Him. The results comes from His work, His actions, His deeds. He's what He accomplished upon this cross. What He accomplished in His death, burial, and resurrection through Jesus Christ. Because there's no other name under heaven whereby man must be saved. That name is Jesus. So we should be looking to Him in obedience to what He's called for. Now, real quick, like, I want to bring you something to your attention within our text. First of all, Paul prayed for Jesus to dwell in our hearts. In other words, Paul's desire is for you to surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. There is no middle ground. Either Jesus is Lord of all in your life, or Jesus is not Lord at all in your life. You know what I'm saying? Either Jesus is Lord of all in your life, or Jesus is not Lord at all. In your life. Jesus needs to be Lord of all in our lives. That's exactly what Paul was praying for, that Jesus dwell within our hearts. But Paul continued to pray. He prayed for us to be rooted and firmly established or grounded in God's love. Now many people, self-included, we all go to work for a paycheck. But it should be more than that. You see, God's providing us a means to live. But the place, as I shared earlier, should be also our mission field, where we share the love of Jesus Christ with other people. Our workplaces, no matter what the age of the individuals we're surrounded by is, should be that we are revealing to others our faith in Jesus Christ. In our daily words, our daily actions, and everything about us. You see, back to our teachers, your children must see your concern for them. I've stated this before, and many of you I know have heard it. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. So it's important for the children to know that you care. And I know, teachers, that you already know this, because I firmly believe that teaching, that being a faculty of a school is a calling. It's a grand call. Don't forget why you've been taught. Don't forget the impact, the results that you're looking for. of growing people, growing children to be the next leaders, the next teacher, the next mayor, the next president, the next whatever that may be. Maybe in your classroom this year, invest in them. Trust God to live in and through you. But Paul also prayed that for professed Christians to comprehend. I looked at that word comprehend and I looked at it and it kind of seemed exactly what Paul was stating in these verses of scriptures. It goes on to give us an understanding. Paul was praying for us to comprehend. He's praying for us to understand, to grasp, to discern, to follow, to live out. To live out with all the saints, as the text says, God's amazing love for all humanity. Church, teachers, we need to comprehend the amazing love that we're given through Jesus Christ. And we need to live it out in front of other people. I feel Paul was broadcasting to the audience that Jesus was to be central in our thoughts. Why do I say that? Because it amazes me how Paul in his prayer, he bookends about focus upon Jesus. First of all, it says his prayer was for Jesus to dwell in our hearts. Then he kind of concludes this prayer for us to know the love of Jesus. So Jesus in our hearts, to know the love of Jesus. And in the middle, for us to live out that love that's bookended in this prayer. Us to live out our lives in a manner that we're looking for results, looking for success. And the result and success, as I stated earlier, comes from our obedience to God. Our obedience to His instructions. So how do we accomplish these results? How do we attain this success? By obeying God's instructions. Now, I want to share something with you. Some of you may have been at the concert that took place this Friday night at the ELT at the SCA put on. Sadie Robertson spoke, and one of the statements she made really grabbed my attention. I'd been looking for a way to maybe possibly give us an example, an application, and it just clicked when she started talking about it. And how many of you, whether it's the old or the new, how many of you have seen The Lion King? Now, I know more of you have seen The Lion King. I want to share this with you. Here's what she stated, and I want to plagiarize, if you would. But I'm just plagiarizing God's word. Okay? That'd be all right. We're all called to share it. But she said, Simba was being taught by his father, Mufasa. All right? Mufasa taught him all types of different things. And then Simba got into some trouble. His father came to rescue him. Mufasa lost his life. And Scar, the evil brother, said, Simba, what you've done is wrong, you have murdered. That's a true statement. But he kicked him out. And Simba was ashamed. He ran away. Tried his best to get away. I'm not going to tell you the whole story about him killing my father or what is over there. Right? And he scolded him, got out. Simba left. Simba ran. But while Simba was going through all types of different things in life, he was growing. Let's stop right there for a moment. In our lives, we choose bad paths on occasion, but we're still growing. Back to the story. Simba, as he grew, started to look more and more and more like his father. He looked like his father. In fact, he looked in the pool of water and saw the fossil. And it was his reflection, too. And he said, here, my father taught me how to win with pride. So he takes off and he runs back. I got a story to give you. He runs back and he gets back to Scar. He didn't know exactly what to do, how to take place, what's going to happen. But he goes up to the Scar and says, Scar! The Scar turns around. He says, Mufasa! Scar thought it was Mufasa. So I say all that to say this, and I think it struck me. For us to gain results, we must look like our Father. For us to be able to accomplish what God wants us to do, we must look like our Father in heaven. We must pursue after Him. We need to be looking. We will not gain the results to grow God's kingdom and bring honor and glory to His name if we're not looking like the Father. So church,
encourage you to start looking like the Father. I encourage you to seek to be more and more and more like your Father in heaven, who loves you so much that he proved his love for you. He gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross while you were still a sinner. And we don't need to allow our pasts to derail us. We don't need to allow Satan to distract us. We need to just keep looking like the Father, because it's not Greg that's being saved. It's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that's giving you the honor and glory. And him alone is the one I will serve. And that should be the same in your life. Are you looking like the Father? The answer is yes or no. Where are you at this morning? Seeking after results, looking for results. Are you looking like the Father? Now, number three, and I fill in the blank. How will we pray for you? We'll be praying for power. So we're praying for strength. We're praying for results. We're praying for power. You're thinking, I know. Well, how in the world is this strength and power not the same? The difference between strength and power is strength is a state of being strong. There's a lot of strong people in this world that have no power. Satan himself is strong, but he's been defeated. He has no power over you. He has some strength, yes. But he's a created being just like you are, and he's already been defeated. And his eternity is a place called hell. Church, we need to be praying for our faculty and our teachers to have the power that God gives in them. You see, most importantly, that power, I want to look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, says, and when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. You have the power within you. You have the love of Jesus Christ within you. To have the hope of salvation within you. You need to have the power to stand firm on the gospel. You need to have the power, church, we need to have the power to be in prayer for our teachers in the community. For our students in the community. We need to have power for our community, period. Our community needs hope. And the only place they can find is in Jesus. We have to live it. Allow him, Jesus, to live in and through us. Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. We see that in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think. I don't know about you, but I can ask or think of a lot of amazing things. But God surpasses that according to the power that works in us. And that power is the Holy Spirit that indwells us. We may face struggle, we may face difficulty, we may face challenges, and you will, I'll assure you. There's going to be 10 months, roughly, of a lot of stuff that you're going to face. But please know you're being prayed for. And please know this, it wasn't your power that got you there. It was God's power that took you there. And it's God's power that's going to see you through. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, I am sure of this. He who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Trust in his power. Now I want to kind of bring everything and wrap everything up by using another verse of scripture that we're all very aware of. And many of you have heard this multiple occasions, but some of you is maybe the first time. But one popular, we all have a favorite memory verse, probably all of us have at least one favorite verse. And one of the most popular, if you will, is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Too often, here's what we're guilty of doing. We take verses of Scripture out of context. And we say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Well, I mean, God can do anything that he so desires to. Now, but I want to just share this with you. Here's what I'm kind of talking about. You may not believe this, but chances are highly likely that I'm not going to be the next linebacker of the Dallas Cowboys. And it's not that funny, Joel. Chances are highly likely I'm not going to be the next linebacker of the Dallas Cowboys. I can do all things through Christ to give me strength. We can, and he can. But let's read exactly what's taking place in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, which states this: I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know both how to have a little, and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In other words, that verse of Scripture is this: whatever God calls for you to do in your life, whether you consider it little or much, your focus should be on Jesus Christ, in that whatever He calls for your life to do, you can do all things through Christ and use your strength to accomplish whatever it is that has to be life to do. God does not call you to it, He puts it on you. Your steps, your walk with Jesus Christ, is vitally important that you know where to turn to, that you know who your Savior is. As we wrap up this morning's message, I want to share with you one verse of Scripture that I did not read this morning, but we're going to look at. I found Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I think this is Paul's, maybe a theme, if you will, of what he's trying to say here. But here's what Paul's overall message of this text is as we read it. Therefore I, as a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk and live life worthy of your calling. Now, we need to put our hope, our trust in what that verse of Scripture says, and Paul's prayer for us. And church, we need to be praying that for Brindley Mountain Primary, for the elementary, for the high school and middle school. And church, we need to be praying that for one another. We need to be praying and urge one another to walk and live life worthy of your calling. In that, God called Greg to be Greg, nothing more, nothing less. And God called you to be you, nothing more, nothing less. Live your life worthy of your calling. How do I live my life worthy of the calling? You let go and let God. You let go and let Jesus be Lord of your life. If you're here this morning and you've not surrendered Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to give up your time and patience, I want to share with you a couple of verses of Scriptures. The Bible shares in Romans 10:19 that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that is raising to the dead, we shall be saved. You hear that? If we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God is raising from the dead, we shall be saved. With the heart, man believes in the righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made for salvation. We live our life in a manner worthy of our calling. And our calling is in Jesus Christ. We represent Him every day. Because all too often, exactly what happens is we work hard, we work differently, we work trying to accomplish, to share someone with someone who Jesus Christ is, and we're all sinners. And we make a mistake and we lose, and we step back, seem like one step forward, three steps back. Live your life worthy of the call. Talk to us, church. Be in prayer for those of you. Be in prayer for our teachers, our faculty, and our school system. Be in prayer for those students that need to hold their hope. 77% of them struggle. Why do I say that? Because they're underprivileged, if you will. They need hope. Not just the children, but the families, mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas. They need hope. Church, we have that hope. Start praying for them. Start letting them see Jesus. Let others see Jesus in you, if you will. Live that life, man. Worthy. That's the victory of hope this morning. Come. Surrender Jesus Christ this morning and say, come. Say, I want to take a new step of faith. I want to rededicate my life. Come. I urge you. Would you come? As we stand, as we sing. What number is
it? 294.
294.
Have that old way.
in your life, we will not stop singing. You tell them to get things right, Lord. But it is well. I want you to look at these words of this song. I want you to sing to Him. I want you to worship Him with the words of this song. I want you to sing this song to Him. Sing praise to His name because He loves you. Sing that He'll have His own way.
This song,
thank you.